From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Democrats go after the president's nominee for the Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood back under the spotlight, and a Joe Biden staffer says that people of faith should not hold public office. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. And I want to start off today's program by encouraging you to be in prayer for President Trump and First Lady Melania as they have tested positive for COVID-19. Our prayers are with them and everyone in the administration as they fight this disease head on. 1 week ago, the president nominated Amy Coney Barrett to be the next Associate Justice on the Supreme Court, and liberals in the Senate and in the media started their anticipated attacks almost immediately. On Thursday, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was joined by Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming to discuss the Supreme Court nomination.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, great to be with you, Tony, and I was just thinking about you and I in Cleveland standing shoulder to shoulder in 2016 as members of the Platform Committee and the platform that we put out, which said we want to make sure we fill the bench with judges who will apply the law, not legislate from the bench. Yeah. We talked about Justice Scalia, and if you could ever imagine, when you fast forward 4 years, that we'd be in a position now to appoint a third, have President Trump appoint a third and confirm a third justice of the Supreme Court, on top of the, 53 appellate court judges and all of the district court judges. It has been truly, and I think it will be the mark of President Trump, one term or two when he gets to serve, preferably two, that we have done so much to remake the judiciary along the lines that I think the founding fathers had intended it.
Yeah, so true. So true. In fact, I had that on my list. I was going to make reference to our work on the platform committee because that those two documents and actually the 2016 platform for the Republicans is still in effect. They just advanced it, so they still have the most conservative platform in the history of the party. The Democrats, on the other hand, actually modified theirs and made it even more liberal, if you can believe it. And such a contrast, and there's very few places. I would say life is one of them, religious liberty. But all those issues find a crossing point, a fixed point of connection at the courts. And that's what we're talking about here, the courts. They have a different vision of the courts, and they see Judge Amy Coney Barrett as a threat to that vision that they have for the courts.
Well, they do, because she has the vision of Justice Scalia, who she clerked for. She is so well qualified. You know, she'd be the only member of the court, once we get her confirmed, who hadn't attended either Harvard or Yale Law School. You know, she's a graduate of University of Notre Dame Law School, 20 years the professor there, often professor of the year, mother, incredible individual. They're attacking her on her faith. Really, the difference in terms of the mindset with the courts, and I had a chance to visit with Justice Scalia. We had him in Wyoming at one point. And he said, remember, the Constitution is a legal document, not a living document. Mm-hmm. It is built for certainty, not for flexibility, so people can say, hey, what's happening now, and that's what we want it to be. And yeah, that's what the Democrats would love to do, is put people like that on the court. And, you know, they're even talking about eliminating the filibuster, blowing up the court, adding more members to the court, something that Joe Biden wouldn't even comment on during the debate the other night, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg said would be a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah, he would. And he's not going to answer that. And the president pressed him for his list, as others have, and he's not going to produce a list because, again, it would be a point of contrast between President Trump and candidate Biden. I want to play, I played at the top of the program just a few moments ago, a clip from a press conference you did yesterday. I want to play that clip a little bit longer because I want to get you to explain your comments yesterday. Let's play that clip, Randy.
High drama indeed from the Democrat leader. I mean, these aren't just scare tactics. I mean, this is theatrics, but clearly it is also fear-mongering. Once again, Chuck Schumer is pulling out, in terms of the Supreme Court, the playbook of personal destruction.
What is in that playbook?
Well, they're going to go after her for her faith. You know, he gave a speech on, Chuck Schumer gave a speech on Saturday night and then again on Sunday, and he said she, quote, stands against just about everything America believes and stands for. Well, you know what she stands for and believes in? She believes in God, and she practices her faith. Well, so do most Americans. She believes in family. It's committed to hers. So do most Americans. She believes in life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Well, so do most Americans. But then he went on. He said, kids are in the crosshairs. And, you know, you will look at the liberal press. They have gone after her for adopting two children from Haiti. She said, with her on the court, he said, you will never be able to get insurance. And your health, he said, Schumer said, will suffer dramatically. This is what I'm talking about when I say high drama indeed. I think they're going to use the playbook that they've used. Look, Joe Biden wrote this playbook. They used it against Judge Bork, used it against Justice Alito, Justice Thomas, certainly brought it out with Brett Kavanaugh. I think they will do anything they can to try to undermine her character, her credibility, and to make sure she doesn't get confirmed. And the Republicans are standing, along with President Trump, committed to her confirmation. Lindsey Graham is starting the hearings on the 12th of this month. We hope to get her out of committee and on the court before Election Day.
In talking to some of your colleagues there in the Senate, they're telling me that they've never seen the Republican senators so unified and working in concert together as they are right now over this nomination.
You know, once they put Brett Kavanaugh through the meat grinder that they did a couple of years ago, the American people rejected that approach by the Democrats. We actually picked up two Senate seats. As a result, we've had new members of the Senate, terrific additions, and we are unified. We're unified on the fight. We're unified on making sure that her story gets told. But remember, she's just been vetted by the Senate, a couple of years ago when she was put on the bench in Indiana. And it was a bipartisan, positive vote to confirm her. Now you're going to get some of the hypocrites that are going to flip and say, oh, well, I can't vote for her now because it's a different court. But she had the same amount of character and credibility and abilities back then as she has now. And now I think the president made a wonderful choice in choosing her for the Supreme Court.
Now, Senator, yesterday in your press conference, you warned the Democrats about just something you mentioned a moment ago. When they went after Brett Kavanaugh, they actually lost in the midterm elections in 2018. They lost a couple of senators as a result, directly connected to that. Will they toe the line and not engage in attacks, personal attacks, this character assassination that they attempted on Brett Kavanaugh? Will they be able to hold themselves back from that?
You're asking the great question: is can they contain themselves? Do they have enough control to? I don't know. The hearings will tell the tale, but we've seen already acting out by refusing to even meet with her.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen this whole list of Democrats who would normally meet with a nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States who are going to be on the committee refusing to even provide the courtesy and the decency of meeting with the nominee, with Amy Coney Barrett ahead of time. Not doing it. They refuse. So, you know, if they're that ginned up this time, what's going to happen once the hearings begin? But one thing's for sure, because of coronavirus, we've been having hearings without people in the gallery, if you will, without people in the committee room other than the members and the staff and the person that's testifying. So you're not going to have, you know, people protesting and yelling and screaming in the background and having to be taken out because of the coronavirus, though we're still on a lockdown in Capitol Hill.
Yeah, that is true. I hadn't thought about that. So you're not going to have the drama in the gallery as you did last time. If they go after her faith, as Barbara Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein did during the last time she testified.
Will the Republicans respond with full force to that?
I would expect so. Absolutely. The members of the committee will do that as well. I'm sure Lindsey Graham, the chairman of the committee, will do so. But, yeah, they're not going to tolerate that. You have Ted Cruz, Mike Lee. You can go through the list of the people that are on the committee. And, you know, we know how Dianne Feinstein treated Judge Barrett the first time.
Yeah, the
she,
dogma
was in the committee, and I'm sure you play the tapes of that.
Yes, we will. It's to me that's like Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
Dogma and speaks loudly.
And you would think that the fallout from that would hang over the heads of the Democrats like a black cloud. But like you said, maybe they can't help themselves. Yeah. They ought to be able to help themselves. They ought to be able to control themselves. And they ought to be able. She ought to get a respectful and hearing, be treated with the respect that she is owed and deserves, and then a vote in the floor of the United States Senate and a confirmation.
And we shall soon see. Very, very soon. Senator John Barrasso, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Thanks for your continued leadership. Thanks, Tony.
You can find out more about John Barrasso when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, find out how you can watch all of the content from last week's Virtual Values Voter Summit. You can find it at TonyPerkins.com. The history of the United States is preserved in archives, books, and the collective memory of the American people. It is also preserved through monuments and memorials that visually represent the extraordinary history of our nation. Family Research Council has a new blog series highlighting the most popular monuments in our nation's capital. This series shares the historical and spiritual themes depicted in each monument. To read FRC's monument series, visit frcblog.org/monuments. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Last week, our next guest authored a letter signed by 49 members of the House asking Attorney General Barr to investigate a video put out by the Center for Medical Progress. In it, a connection is made between physicians and Planned Parenthood that may violate the federal partial birth abortion ban. Here's Tony Perkins, joined by Dr. Roger Marshall, Congressman from the 1st District of Kansas.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, thanks for having me on, and I just feel so bad that here we are in the trenches again, fighting a battle to protect life. And I just never would have dreamed that this is they would go this far to harvest organs. And I'm not sure if you've seen the video yet yourself, but obviously I'm speechless.
I have not seen this particular video, but I have read about it. And what really strikes me, Congressman, is how brazen the abortion industry has become to make these claims. And I think it's more than appropriate for you to call on the Attorney General to investigate this, because from their own lips, they admit they're violating the law.
Exactly. So that's what we're asking is, you know, we hate to rush to judgment. My dad, the police officer, we're going to, you know, investigate this fully. And I know Attorney General Barr's got his hands full right now. But we have federal laws against partial birth abortions. And as I listen to these videos and the person talking about it, it sounds like they're delivering live babies and then harvesting their organs simultaneously as they're killing the baby, because they want those fresh organs. And I know it's really graphic, but that's how the situation we're in right now. And then they check a box. So they get through this and say there was no intent. They didn't mean to deliver the baby alive, but they just check a box. I bet it's pretty common happenstance. I would love to know how many babies are actually born alive and then they kill them after they're born. I think that's somehow they have to document that. So we're going to look into legislation to maybe document that somehow, some way.
I mean, this is very troubling on many fronts, but it is an indicator of the callousness of our culture. And it's almost, I mean, it's barbaric, quite frankly, that this is where we are. And it is so the reverse of the founding of this nation. Of, you go back to the Pilgrims and those who founded this country that did it for subsequent generations. They sacrificed so that future generations that they never knew or saw would be the beneficiaries of their sacrifice. And today we're sacrificing our posterity for ourselves is essentially what's happening.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I think back to growing up, my mom had the Declaration of Independence and the Ten Commandments on the wall in my brother's and my bed. And, of course, the most famous words are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And life is something that we grow up taking for granted. And then suddenly here we are today where there's no value in life. And, you know, this is the slippery slope. I mean, we're down the hill now going 90 miles an hour. Yeah. And it's Family Research Council. It's Roger Marshall. It's our time to stand up and say enough. Unfortunately, we got a pro-life president. And this is why, you know, keeping a Republican majority in the Senate is important. This is why it's important we get President Trump reelected.
So true, because you can see in the party platforms the contrast like never before. And the issue of life is one of them. I was talking yesterday about the Democrats want to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which is the prohibition against federal funding for abortion, which you get more of if you pay for. Now, let's kind of walk this out very quickly before we run out of time, Dr. Marshall. If, in fact, they see the Department of Justice finds evidence that this did occur, this is a violation of federal law. What could be the outcome here?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not a lawyer and did not stay in a Holiday Inn last night. So, you know, I think there could be implications across all of Planned Parenthood, because I think that this is not an isolated incident. So I think it could be something that could be really, really damaging to Planned Parenthood and the number of the abortion providers. So wherever they're selling organs from, I think we need to investigate every one of those places where they're doing abortions and see where the facts take us, right?
Right. And then as you get that information, you're able to modify regulations and even pass legislation that will prohibit this in a greater matter. And primarily, it's the reporting. That's the loophole, is no one has to report, so you don't know that it's happening. Dr. Roger Marshall, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, great to talk with you, my friend.
Yeah, Tony, thank you. Thank you for standing up for life.
You can find out more about Roger Marshall when you visit tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, find out how you can watch all of the content from last week's virtual Values Voter Summit. You can find it at tonyperkins.com.
Leftist activists are calling for increased taxpayer funding of abortions. We must be vigilant in our defense of the unborn and push for pro-life legislation. Despite state and federal efforts to spare taxpayers from being forced to fund the abortion industry, the industry still receives millions of dollars each year in taxpayer money. To inform you on the issue, Family Research Council has released a newly updated pro-life map that tracks state funding of the abortion industry. Go to frc.org/pro-life maps to see where your state stands in the fight for life.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Over the last 50 years or so, liberals have been working on getting religion kicked out of the public square. And now a staffer for Joe Biden has said that people with religious beliefs should not hold public office. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss these comments is Tyler O'Neill, senior editor at PJ Media.
Tyler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, glad to be here, Tony.
All right. Explain to our listeners what took place here and how this staffer for Joe Biden basically attacked people of faith.
Yeah. So we have this very interesting throughout the mainstream, you know, the legacy media. A lot of reporters have been discovering certain things about Amy Coney Barrett and discovering certain things about Orthodox Roman Catholicism and Christianity. For instance, Politico contributing editor Adam Wren noted that Barrett was a trustee at a South Bend private school that described homosexual acts as at odds with Scripture and said marriage was between one man and one woman, even after Obergefell v. Hodges. I mean, what a story, right?
I mean, let me stop you right there, Tyler, because I know you interact with the media. That's your business. Is there some expectation that people of faith, people who follow the Bible, we're talking about Christians, Jews, that they should change their view because the Supreme Court issued a ruling? Would that apply to abortion as well? They think we should change our view on Scripture that says all life is created in the image of God because the court said so?
Yeah, that is the suggestion here that Adam Wren seems to have made. And it was really important that senior fellow at Brookings, Shadi Hamid, called him out on it and said, you know, why is this news? Isn't this a standard position for any Orthodox Catholic? And that's when the Biden staffer comes in. This woman, Nikita Rai, deputy director for Pennsylvania in Biden's campaign, said that, yes. And then Hamid responded, it's the standard position for any Orthodox Muslim or Jew as well. And Rai even acknowledged it. And this Tony, is the bit that really stood out to me and I think needs to be focused on. Rai said, I'd heavily prefer views like that not be elevated to the Supreme Court, but unfortunately our current culture is still relatively intolerant. It will be a while before those types of beliefs are so taboo that they're disqualifiers. That is disqualifying from the United States Supreme Court. Now, we talk a lot about conservative Christianity, and I think it's very important to note that, yes, the Bible is very clear that marriage is between one man and one woman, and homosexual activity is considered sinful, as is sexual activity outside of marriage. But this is not just a Christian position. Like, this is something held by Orthodox Roman Catholics, Protestants, Eastern Orthodox Christians, and of course, the most Jewish traditions and most Muslim traditions. This is by no means, you know, some tiny marginalized view out there.
Well, and it's also, Tyler, it's also the view that Barack Obama had when he was elected as president.
Right, yes, in 2008, before he decided to up and change it in 2012. That's how fast these things are moving.
That's very interesting, Tyler, because I think there's something to that from a standpoint of conservative Christians. I'm going to stick with conservative Christians. I'm going to define them as Bible-believing Christians, those who believe the Bible and seek to live by it as a standard of morality, which is what it is. So I think part of the animus toward that element of society, which is actually quite large, is that there is an objective standard of right and wrong and of truth, and that's why some don't like it, that there is this reminder of transcendent truth that to and a God to whom we're all held accountable. So they gravitate to be supportive of LGBTQ community because they're the ones that are so aggressively attacking Orthodox Christian views.
Exactly. And I think there are a lot of different aspects enmeshed in this. It's really a conflict of worldviews where you have those who embrace materialistic evolutionary narratives, not just of human history, but also of specifically Western history. A lot of people who demonize Christianity as this force that holds us back from science and from progress. And in their view, they see this sexual revolution as part of progress. And if you actually look at the long trend of history, the more astounding thing isn't the sexual revolution. It's the sort of moral progress, free markets, strong, you know, institutions that we have here in the West that have enabled freedom and prosperity at unprecedented levels. And those are rooted in the historic Orthodox Christian faith and with a huge help from Orthodox Judaism as well.
Excellent point. You're absolutely right. And I've got a clip I want to play here of Joe Biden, lest someone thinks, "Wow, this was just a rogue staffer out there saying this." This is Joe Biden speaking in September of 2018 to the HRC, which is the Human Rights Coalition, which is the largest human rights campaign, largest homosexual LGBTQ advocate group out there. This was at their annual gala. This is what he said.
Despite losing in the courts and in the court of public opinion, these forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. They're a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. And instead of using the full might of the executive branch to secure justice, dignity, safety for all, the president uses the White House as a literal bully pulpit, callously exerting his power over those who have little or none.
Referring to those who opposed same-sex marriage in the court's imposition of a redefinition of marriage, despite the fact that a majority of states had gone on record defining marriage in their state constitutions as a union of a man and a woman. And so he refers to them as the dregs of society. Doesn't sound like this was just a staffer out there saying that. Sounds like this is the Democratic Party's view of those that hold to traditional values.
Well, I think Biden's other acts as the Democratic nominee also confirmed this. I mean, even though he identifies as a Catholic, Biden has remained silent on the horrific attacks against Catholic statues and churches during the George Floyd riots. And then he actually chose Senator Kamala Harris, who has notoriously demonized the Catholic Fraternal Order, the Knights of Columbus, as his running mate. So Biden aligns with Harris on these things. And he, you know, I don't know what's going on in his heart, but the fact that he would say that conservative Christians, Orthodox religious believers are the dregs of society, that's terrifying.
It is. I think it's, it's a warning sign. And I just think that people who, when they go in to vote, need to consider these things and how the two presidential candidates view people of faith, whether or not they'll be free to live their lives according to their faith, or they'll be referred to as the dregs of society, in which those beliefs disqualify them for public service. I mean, that's what we are looking at. There could not be clear contrast between the two. Tyler O'Neill, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you, Tommy.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.